Reformed Church.
There was this thing that he reminded me of the joy of your salvation, right? And the cool thing about that was that you know it came to my mind not as like a Bible verse, which you know there are a number of verses that talk about the joy of your salvation, but it came to me like how cool is it? Like how much can we rejoice and have joy, right? That joy that would come from the Spirit of God on the inside of you, right? Joy from your Spirit inside of you, because of the fact that we are saved. But when I thought like, kind of when in my mind I saw like salvation, I was like picturing the phrase in my head that like the joy of your salvation. I thought, wow, like the joy or the rejoicing that there is in being delivered, in being saved out of this world. And then the third thing that reminded me of something that the Lord brought to my mind like probably a week ago, which was just a cool thing that went right along with this, is that, you know, you could have joy, you could experience like that joy right now for, you know, when you begin to recall your salvation, when you begin to recall your deliverance and how you are on top of it all. Like, and that little phrase on top of it all was something that I thought about for a lot of hours, just thinking about like on top of it all. But these are a couple of things I thought that were really cool with that, that go really well with that. But the gist of it really is that when you see your salvation and you see what the Lord has done and how he has really taken us out of this world, right? And that goes with a few things that I've been mentioning lately about, you know, our prosperity not being tied to the economy of the world, our, you know, our health not being tied to whatever pandemic or whatever thing is going on the earth, you know, that we are, right, and forever will be now, not citizens of the earth anymore, citizens of heaven. And I like the way the Bible puts it, is that we are not like those that dwell on the earth, right? And I don't understand everything about that, but it's clear that we are not called those that dwell on the earth, right? That's not us, right? But that we are those that are of a heavenly kingdom, right? But it's really cool when you begin to think like, Lord, that no matter what is going on in this world, good or bad, you know, positive or negative, you know, from whatever perception people would look at that, you know, you though can have joy because you have already been saved, right? You have already been taken out of this. You have already been delivered from it. You are already on top of it, right? And let me share a couple of verses that might be able to expand that idea a little bit in your mind. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, which is really cool, says, and this is the New King James, says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, he says, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing in this world, right, or in the heavens above, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather it says rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because you are a citizen of heaven. Rejoice because you've been saved. You've been delivered from this, right? Over all the power of the enemy, we have been delivered. We have been saved from it, right? We have been set up above it, right? And given authority, Jesus said, to trample upon all the power of the enemy, and nothing would by any means hurt you, right? Like, it's like that brings joy, right? To see, my gosh, the salvation of God, right? That I don't, like he said here, you know, a lot of times we use that in, you know, don't rejoice because demons are subject unto you, or because demons obey you, or because of physical manifestations. But a cool thing to see here is that he's saying, I have given you authority over all of this. Therefore, rejoice because your names are written in heaven, right? Your citizenship is not of this world. Your citizenship is of heaven, right? And you have been given authority over all of the power of the enemy. In Revelation chapter 13, in verse number 8, it's a little bit of an opposite, but you'll see what I mean. Revelation 13, 8 says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, which I think this is referring to the beast, right? All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not, right? Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And you know that the book, obviously, that he's making reference to is the same book that we talked about before, that, you know, that our names are written in. Here it says that all that dwell upon the earth, their names are not written in that book, right? But it's a cool thing that to see the contracts, though, that we're not called those that dwell and inhabit this earth, right? We're citizens of heaven, and our names are written there, right? So we are given authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and we are sealed, right, by the Spirit of God. It's just a cool thing, right? We're not of those that dwell on the earth. And there's more to see there, I'm sure, but I like that. Those that dwell on the earth are those that are said not to have their names written in the book of life, right? Different from us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9, says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, right? Death, which is of this world. He says he's abolished death, which is of the world, and he has brought life and immortality, which is of heaven, right? Life and immortality. So it's just really cool to see the contrast, right? We have been given life and immortality, which is of heaven through our Savior, right? And we have a Savior that has abolished death, right? So that we are no longer, right, needing to be affected by death, but that as we hear the gospel, right, what comes to light or what is revealed to us is life and immortality, the exact opposite of what surrounds and dominates, right, people that dwell on the earth, right, but not us, right? We are not of those that dwell on the earth, but we are of those that have our citizenship in heaven. And as we know, as we hear the gospel and we learn more and more what the Lord has done, what begins to come to light, right, begins to enlighten our eyes is life and immortality, right? Just a couple more and we'll wrap up here. Ephesians chapter 2, right, just that whole concept of being on top of it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1 is just a great reminder of that. I'm just going to read 10 verses, but it'll go real quick. Verse number 1, Ephesians 2 says, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. Like, this is how we used to walk, right? We used to walk as earthly. We used to walk as those that dwelt on the earth, right? It says, you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, right? But not in us. It says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved. And it says in verse number 6 that he's raised us up and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? On top of it all, right? Above all principality, power, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, right? He's made us, right, so that regardless of what's going on in this world, you can see and you can understand, you know what, Lord, I am on top of it all, right? I am on top of it all. We could have, you know, the joy of our salvation, because obviously we're always obviously saved, right? We're always delivered. Like, joy could be like such a perpetual thing, like that constantly affecting our emotions, affecting the way you're thinking about, affecting the way you interpret circumstances, right? To know every time you see something going on, to be able to interpret it in the light of your salvation, right? In the light of the fact that you've been saved from it, delivered from it, given authority over it, right? Given authority over it. On top of it all, he says that we've been raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ, right? On top of it all, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. I won't read the rest of that, but that's good. And then I'll stop here with Psalm 21. I want to read to you Psalm 21, verse 1 and 2. I just like this because it says the king It says, the king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation. How greatly he shall rejoice. And then, and check this out, verse 2. It says, for you have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. You know, I'm sure there's a lot more to see there in that psalm, in those two verses. But it is cool to be able to see, though, the rejoicing that we can have in the strength of God. But when I read that joy in strength, I equated that joy in your strength, but joy in your strength to save, right? Joy in your strength because he has saved. Obviously, in this time, David is looking ahead to the salvation that would come. But here we can see, we can rejoice in the power of God that has saved, that has delivered through Jesus Christ. And rejoice in his strength would be the same as rejoicing in our salvation, right? So regardless of whether what's going on is a positive thing, right? That someone is healed, someone, a demon is cast out, whatever it is that's going on, right? A work of power that God would do. Or whether it's something negative that you're seeing that could be perceived negatively, that regardless of what it is, that you would look at that and allow the Lord to remind you how on top of it you are, right? But also on a regular basis, allowing just the joy to be able to come to us, to be able to see, wow, Lord, you have saved me from it all. You have delivered me from everything. So anyone that would try to come against you, anything that would try to be, you know, kind of foiling your plans or messing something up, or any thought that you would have of, and anything that you would fear, any temptation that would come your way, that you would see, you know what, Lord, like looking at it from the point, from your point of view, right? But our correct point of view, right? Looking at it from the point of view from where we are, right? Seated with Christ, citizens of heaven, that you would look at something, regardless of what it is, and interpret it with that wisdom, interpret it with that understanding. You know what, Lord, you have set me above these things. I'm not beneath them. I'm not subject to them, right? I'm above it. You have given me authority to trample upon these things. You have given me things to walk in, right? Not to walk as I used to walk, according to the course of this world, but today I walk according to the kingdom that I am of, right? I walk according to the wisdom of the Lord, right, that you have. So just a good reminder, right? But the thing that really got me, I don't know, I think actually we were walking around. I was walking by myself for some reason. We were in Hershey Park, just where we were recently, and I was walking by myself somewhere, and the thought came, you know, the joy of your salvation. I must have had like the biggest grin in my face just because it felt like instantaneously it felt so good. Like, wow, right? Like, Lord, you've saved me. You've delivered me from it all, right? Just good.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.